The Brian Golf Show.
Four!
Presented by Cobra Puma Golf.
That was an excellent shot.
Yeah, real good form.
Before we get to talking about anything and everything to do with golf shafts, I got to give a big thank you to the man on the phone. His name is Don Brown. He is the Senior Director of Marketing Innovation for True Sports' Golf Division. Now, True Sports encompasses a lot. I know, Don, that you have a lot of product, not just in the golf side, but True also has, what, a baseball division, a hockey division, lacrosse. Am I correct on all this before we get going?
Yeah, that is correct. So True Sports, we were formerly known as True Temper Sports until about the middle of last year. And then, you know, we have our hockey division, our lacrosse division, our baseball division, and they are all branded True. So it made sense for the parent company to be called True Sports as opposed to True Temper Sports, where True Temper is really just our golf division. So, yeah, we make a wide range of lacrosse products. In hockey, we dress players from the skates to the helmet. In baseball, we just launched that at the end of last year, doing some really cool things in baseball where we are taking what we have learned in the golf fitting world and applying it to youth baseball. So instead of a parent just going in and grabbing a bat off the rack because their child's supposed to play a drop three, because that's what the coach said, these kids come in and we test grip strength, core strength, hand size, and all these things, and then use a launch monitor, just like in golf, to fit them into exactly the baseball bat that is fit for them. And, you know, they can bring their gamer in, just like if someone was coming to see you to get fit, and they swing their gamer, and they get an exit velocity of X, and then we fit them for a bat, and we give them something that's an exit velocity of Y, which where Y hopefully is greater than X.
Amazing. I didn't know that. I mean, it makes so much sense to me, just especially in the golf world as a golf fitter, a golf club fitter, but that's amazing. I didn't know that was even a thing. So, well, look, if we're talking golf, the big thank you, one, for coming on the show. I appreciate that. We've been trying to do this for a little while, but I know that there was some product that you're excited about, I was excited about, and we couldn't just talk about it too early. Hopefully we get to talk a little bit about that. Of course, I'm talking about Acura Steel. We'll get a little bit more into the I-Series and all of that. But a big thank you because, and I think at this point, most people that at least listen to my podcast and follow Mel and I on Instagram and follow our brand Steez and Tees know that you are one of our biggest partners and full support, and we appreciate it so much. We're getting ready for our first event this year, Battle at the Beach, and it's our first event with your involvement, and I know we're going to break it up, and this one will be technically sponsored, I guess, the Hyper Focus True Temper. But everyone knows True Temper, so it'll be cool. It's just an honor to have such legendary brands and such high-quality brands be a part of our events. That's really what we're going for, what we strive for. And if it wasn't for, I mean, I think I remember you actually kind of reached out to me, and that just means a lot to Mel and I. And so I wanted to thank you first and foremost for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think what you guys are doing is really awesome. But I think, you know, the important thing, if I'm speaking strictly from a business marketing standpoint, is you guys are connecting with passionate golfers, and passionate golfers are passionate about golf equipment. So, you know, being able to go out and talk to the people that are participating in Steez and Tees events and are following Steez and Tees is just a great way to, you know, to get in front of those people, as opposed to, you know, just throwing an ad in a magazine somewhere where there's, you know, some guy reading it at the airport who doesn't know a hazardous from a dynamic goal. That doesn't do a lot for us. So this was a great way to get involved with a very passionate golf community.
I'm just waiting for you to sign up for one. I know that I think you've got a team coming to Vegas, but I haven't seen your name come down yet. I'm waiting on that.
At this point in time, I am tentatively scheduled to be one of the participants in Vegas,
yes,
which is good news for everybody else going to Vegas, because that means your team can't finish DFL because we will firmly be seated in that spot.
That's amazing. Well, it'll be a good time regardless. So we're pumped for that one. I know Vegas will be a Project X event, which, you know, I've got a lot of Project X in my face right now because we got those Cobra Speed Zone and Speed Zone Extreme driver demos, and you were nice enough to send me some demos of some Project X shafts for the woods, you know. So we got a couple hazardous smoke green. I like that you did one in the Hulk finish, the PVD, and then you got one in the, what'd you call it when I asked for him, the old man gray?
Yeah, we got, you know, that is our smoke gray finish. It's on a lot of our smoke product, but on the that part in particular, we call it old man gray because there are some, you know, crotchety folks out there, some boomers, if you will, that do not want to use a bright green and blue shaft. So we made the gray one. I will tell you this, that of our initial shipment of 300 of the PVD parts of every weight blitz, they're all gone. And on the gray ones, there's like 298 of each of those left in the warehouse. So you are the one that is playing the gray part and not enjoying the PVD part. So
I love it. I get to stare at it every day. You know, it's on the wall. And now I get to have it in our little matrix for our events. We got the Evenflow Riptide and Riptide CB, which we'll get into. But let's just kind of encompass what is True Sports. So you've got True Temper. Everyone knows Dynamic Gold. You also have Project X. So we're talking about Hazardous in the Woods, Riptide, you know, the Evenflow line as well. God, what else? Project X, obviously, Iron Shaft. Everybody knows the old Project X shafts, Project XLZ, and so on. And then this year, or I would say not this year, but recently in the last year, you've acquired Acra. And most recently, Aerotech, who is more famous for steel fiber. So can you talk to me and everyone a little bit about kind of breaking down each brand and how True Sports turned into basically such a majority? And I left out Graphaloid, which we all remember Graphaloid ProLite from back in the day. It was like the first shaft I ever had in a 975D driver. But can we talk about how we came to basically owning every shaft on the wall at any custom fitting boutique?
Well, you make us sound like a 10,000-pound gorilla, which maybe we are a little bit, but we try not to act that way anyways. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to go way back in the day, I've been at True Temper or True Sports for, it'll be 19 years next month. But a year before that, True Temper didn't own Graphaloid. So True Temper had a little bit of graphite success with EI-70, but they were not making waves in what then was the ultra lightweight graphite world at, you know, 60 grams. And there was this little company in San Diego, California called Graphaloid that was, like you talked about, had the ProLite and was just absolutely killing it, both from a commercial standpoint, but also on tour. It was the number one plate kind of ultra light shaft. So True Temper bought Graphaloid, and it was shortly after that that I came on and started designing the Graphaloid product. So my first all graphite shaft that I ever designed was the Graphaloid Blue, which I believe Henrik Stenson may have finally taken that out of play last month for a hazardous, but you know, that's a pretty good run to be in a tour bag for 17 years. So, you know, as sooner or later, all must good things must come to an end. He played it for, like I said, 17 years, won a British Open with it.
Well, and very famous. And then, like, it's not like they just, he did that and nobody knew about it. Like, the three wood just became a legend, and the fact that it had a Graphaloid Blue in it, which I think I had in my driver my freshman year of college, which would have been 2004. I mean, that's an old shaft. I mean, that is old.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, he actually, we have a signed flag from that British Open in our office that says, winning a relic with a relic, Graphaloid forever, signed by Henrik Stenson. So it's a pretty cool little piece of memorabilia we've got. And then, yeah, you know, I'm getting old now, so I can't A, keep track of things, and B, time flies faster than you think it does. But it's probably been 13, 14, 15 years. We bought Royal Precision, which, you know, encompassed the Project X brand. And so at that time, they had some graphite, but they definitely weren't known for it. They were known for the Project X steel shaft. A few years after we bought that, you know, the Project X brand is so strong and had such a good following with stronger players. We started making the graphite under the Project X brand, instead of under the Graphaloid brand. And then, yeah, this year's been a whirlwind. We, you know, we picked up Acra. You know, we had a partnership with them from a business standpoint for many years. They were actually doing the distribution to all of our premium club fitters. So we would send all the product there. They would warehouse and handle kind of the individual orders that were going out, in addition to owning their own brand. And, you know, we've always been very, very strong from an OEM standpoint and a tour standpoint. But we had kind of a, you know, we were pretty focused. Our factories were focused on making, you know, in case of Dynamic Gold, 20, 30, 40,000 of those a day and shipping hazardous by the pallet load. And so our product, you know, a product width was not very wide. Well, one thing with Acra is they have a shaft literally for everybody from 40 gram Mrs. Haverkamp, 95-year-old.
Or to, Mel.
Yeah, or Mel. I didn't want to say it. To, you know, U.S. Open champions using their stuff. So it was really a good opportunity for us to pick up a company that not only had the product for everybody that would go into a custom club fitter, but really understood what that product line has to look like and what the, you know, what the custom club hitter is looking for.
So Acra, I mean, obviously with it being graphite, what people don't realize is you can make graphite as stiff as any steel out there. basically because you get to control how thick you make the graphite, how strong, I guess, you build up that shaft.
So graphite, pound for pound, is significantly stiffer than steel. So you can really make a graphite shaft as stiff as a steel shaft at 70 grams. Now, at that weight, it's not necessarily going to be as low of torque as a steel shaft would be, but it would be just as stiff. Now, you can build a 125, 130 gram graphite shaft that is as torsionally stiff and bending stiff as steel. You just start to run into some, I guess I would say, feel issues for the better player. You know, most players that are using, you know, 130 gram Dynamic Gold or Project X 6.5, they want a little bit of feedback when they hit the ball. They want to be able to tell, I got that a little out of the toe, a little out of the heel, a little thin. When you put that much graphite into a shaft, it just deadens any vibration. And so you're not necessarily getting the feedback of, oh, I got that a little thin. It's just the ball comes out and you're like, well, that's squirrely. I wonder why. And without, you know, if the ball doesn't leave a mark on the club face, you're not really going to have a good reason, good way to understand why that is.
Adding AeroTech more recently, I mean, that's just absolutely massive. At this point, you do have every corner of the market as far as shafts go. You know, how long has something like that been in development to where you're like, you know what, time to pull the trigger. Now we're just going to basically own everything.
Well, I mean, I think with AeroTech was a little bit different. You know, Acura was a very strategic acquisition. Like I said, we've been working with the company that owns Acura, is a group called PGMC, out of Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And they've been our partner for going on 4 years. So there were strategic reasons, even outside of getting the Acura, you know, the Acura branding under our roof, that made sense just from a logistical standpoint of shipping shafts all over the world to, you know, to get one shaft to somebody in Sheboygan. So there were a lot of logistical reasons that made sense. With AeroTech, that was really the founder of AeroTech has been doing this for 30 years now. And he was just ready to retire. He was ready to go. He didn't, you know, really, I don't think, have any family that was interested in taking over the business. So that was more just opportunity. Kind of got out there in the golf shaft world that he was looking to retire and sell his company. Their steel fiber technology is something that's very interesting to us. It's extremely unique. There's nothing like it in the marketplace. So that opportunity coming up was just something we didn't want to pass on. And, you know, not only are there, I think, a bunch of really cool things that we're going to be able to do on the golf side with having a little bit more R&D resource and a little bit more engineering resource than AeroTech had, there's also a lot of applications to our other sports. I mean, there's, you know, steel fiber technology, looking at that, maybe branching into some of the things we do in lacrosse, hockey, baseball. It's just, there's a lot of cool things there that we may be able to take advantage of in the other categories.
Right. And for these companies, you know, like Acura, like, let's just talk about Acura specifically. All of a sudden, they may have resources now that they never even thought they would before. Right. At this point, you know, with, as you say, the 10,000, what do you call it? The 10,000 pound gorilla, which, you know, you definitely are. But I mean, that's like huge for those brands who already make amazing product.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, with Acura, you know, the manufacturer they're working with that was making all their product. You know, they would send those guys specifications on a shaft, and then in maybe 5, 6, 7 weeks, they would get a prototype back. And then they would test that prototype, and if it wasn't what they wanted, they would send that back, and, you know, give them feedback and get another one. Well, now when they want something, they call down to my group and say, hey, you know, for example, we've got TZ6, but we want to make it just a little bit stiffer in the tip, or we want to make it a little bit higher torque or lower torque or whatever they want to do, and they have shafts in 2 days.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it makes the R&D cycle that much faster, which means you can refine things a lot more, because at the end of the day, everybody's kind of working towards a schedule. And so if you're like, hey, we want to launch a new product in August, well, if it takes 6 weeks to get turnaround on getting new prototypes in and for every tweak you make, it doesn't leave you a lot of iterations. If it takes you 2 days, you can iterate more times than you would need to in a month and be ready to go. And same thing even for them with cosmetics. Now, instead of having to go back and forth and get samples shipped from across, you know, the ocean, they can, you know, send their designs down to us. We can make them in 9 different colorways and send them back up in just a couple of weeks. So there's just a lot of benefit there to them to have their own R&D facility now as opposed to working with a third-party manufacturer.
Right. Well, you teed it up, okay? You mentioned the words new product. So let's just go in alphabetical order here. We'll start with Acura, something that really excites me. I think everyone's excited about it, and maybe it's a coincidence that, you know, True Temper acquires Acura, you know, as a whole, and now it's all running under one umbrella. I know y'all did business before together, but that's very different. Acura I-Series Steel. Talk to me about it. This was one of the coolest things that I saw when I went up to the little suite up at the Hyatt or whatever. You guys don't get a booth at the PGA show. You just get a suite, which I love. And, you know, went up there, saw the I-Series Steel. How did that all come about? What are we going to be expecting, you know, with Acura getting into? And I know they've had a steel shaft before, but under True Sports, what is that going to be about?
Well, I mean, the I-Series line is hugely popular, the I-Series graphite line. It is, you know, most custom club fitters, it is, if not the number one shaft for graphite shaft fitting, it is top three. But, you know, when you get into that 105, 115 gram weight range, the amount of people that want to play graphite at that weight range, that benefit from graphite at that weight range, really starts to slim out. And so, I mean, we started talking about this with the Acura guys before the ink was dry on the contract that we were acquiring them. And so we wanted to work with them to create a shaft that matched a steel shaft that matched up to the rest of the I-Series line. Gavin Robertson, who kind of is the co-founder of Acura and who did a lot of their design work and conceptualization, he already had drawings for what he wanted. So he came to us and said, here's what I'm thinking, you know, if you look at steel shafts, you know, Dynamic Gold and Project X, if you take those two shafts, Dynamic Gold, you know, really good feel in the butt section. But you know, it doesn't necessarily have the stability of a Project X, but if you take Project X, a lot of people say it's too stiff in the butt, it feels harsh. So How can we blend those two technologies together? So when you look at an Acura steel shaft, it's got, I want to say it's four or five steps in the butt section, but then it's straight taper from there on down, which is a very unique look that you don't usually see. Something's either straight taper or step, and you know, you don't ever see mixed shafts like that. So what that's done, it's given us a shaft that's soft under the hands, feels really good, but has kind of that stepless Project X stability in the tip section.
I cannot wait to hit these. Am I allowed to say that you sent me some?
Well, you did, so I guess I'm screwed now. It's my last day, probably. Yeah, that is actually literally the first complete set that anybody on the planet has gotten.
No kidding. Are you serious? Yep. That's amazing. Well, yes. So I can't do them physical justice because you can't even tell what they are. For all I know, you just sent me nine steel rods, okay? Because they don't say anything on them. They don't even have the eco-friendly process and the finish that's going to go on these. But I feel like this shaft potentially could be made for me.
One thing we did with this shaft is a little different than when we do a lot of shafts. You know, usually we make 95 gram RSX, 110 RSX, 125. But this being a shaft designed for the club fitters don't need that many flexes at that many weight ranges. So what we've done is we've done a 105, 115, and 125, but we've made, I believe it's 11 lengths per weight. And so that way there's a ton of freedom for the club fitter to go in and hard step and soft step to fit the player into exactly the flex and ball flight they're looking for. And that's something that comes from the Acura, from the I-Series line. If you go into the Club Champion, you'll see they have the Acura 50i on the wall in about nine different configurations. And it's exactly the same shaft. It's just been, you know, tip cut, untipped, you know, hard step, soft step, longer, shorter, in every possible configuration, where they take this 50 gram iron shaft and turn it from everything from a ladies flex into a, you know, probably a hard, regular, soft, stiff flex. So that's what we were trying to do with the steel. Let's, you know, help give this to the fitters where it's in a wide range of weights, and then let them dial in the flex independent of, you know, a consumer coming in and saying, well, that says R on it, I'm supposed to play stiff. No, it just says 105, and we fit you for what the best profile is for your game.
I love that, because we will figure it out, you know, and so many players, they do that. Like you tell them, you know, with the Acura, right, the I-Series graphite that we have on the wall, we got, you know, you were talking about, you know, say like a 50 gram. We got a 50 gram in a very, very soft flex, I guess you would call it M1. And then we have it in M2 yep. and M3. And then you've got a 60 gram that we have in a stiff. And it's just like, you know, at a certain point, I love handing someone one of those shafts and not getting into that conversation of what flex is it until way later. And they're like, you know, they're surprised when you tell them they're in something softer or they're actually in something stiffer than what they would think.
Well, here's a great story about preconceived notions on flex, going back again to the Graphaloid Blue, not to beat a 17-year-old dead horse. That shaft was really stiff at its time. And so we had tour players that were trying to play the S-Flex, which is, you know, even back then and definitely not now, you don't see a lot of tour players going into something that says S. Well, we had a couple tour players that needed a Graphaloid Blue R-Flex. Well, there is no way in hell any PGA Tour player is going to go onto the range with something that says R-Flex on it because he would be laughed off the range. So we made shafts that said S, and behind the S was a tiny little dot, like a period. The S dot, Graphaloid Blue S dot, was really a Graphaloid R-Flex that said S on it, and we put the dot on there so our reps would know what shaft it was. And actually, there was a player that won a major using a Graphaloid Blue S dot. So they won a major using a regular flex Graphaloid shaft.
No kidding. And they didn't know it. They didn't know that it was regular.
No idea. And that's why I'm not telling you who it is, because they would now, you know, they I don't want them to find out now because they'd still be mad.
Nah, they lose their street cred, but they still got the major. So it's all right, man. They'd be okay. Well, Acura, you know, with the steel, that's a big thing. And I know there's been a redesign in the I-Series graphite. Is that just graphics? Are you just kind of freshening up, or is there going to be some changes there as well?
No, the I-Series is just graphics. We wanted, you know, with having the Acura steel coming out, we wanted the graphics to match that. And we just thought, you know, just dress the graphics up a little bit, you know, make it a little bit more contemporary. The I-Series has been out for a while. So that was just a freshening up of the graphics on the graphite side. No changes to the actual structure itself. It's been so successful. That's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of things, outside of, you know, putting in, you know, some new makeup on it.
Of course. I mean, look, if you go to acragolf.com and you go to the custom side, there's a little tab up there. You know I'm on that website, right? I mean, that's my mug. That's my picture. That's my, man, when am I going to be on True Temper and Project X? I mean, I play both the product.
I mean, I'm sponsoring the season fee stuff. I've yet to see my picture on any of your social media, so.
You know what? I'm going to, you got a mugshot? I'll get a mugshot. Throw it up. I think I saw a
mugshot, but you're going to have to contact King County, Washington to get a hold of that. Maybe you can get a picture of me shotgunning a beer on the 18th tee in Vegas or something like that.
That sounds a little bit more like it. We'll make that happen for sure. So moving on to AeroTech, just because I said we're going to go in alphabetical order. Look, everyone knows steel fiber. You know, shaft that I've had a lot of success with is Generate. Mm-hmm. That is not a steel fiber shaft. That is a graphite shaft.
It is. It is an all graphite shaft. It is filament wound, which if you were to take the steel fiber off of the steel fiber golf shaft, you would find a filament wound golf shaft underneath it. So it is a filament wound golf shaft still. So the graphite is made in the same way as the graphite starts with the steel fiber. One of the things with the Generate, though, is when you filament wind a graphite shaft, you end up with a lot of ridges on the outside. And then when you go sand those ridges smooth, you damage a lot of the integrity out of the fibers on the outside. With the Generate, what's on there is there's an extra veil of material on the outside that protects the core fibers. So when it gets sanded, you don't end up sanding those, you know, those fibers that are on there off. You know, filament winding definitely has some benefits from a consistency standpoint in terms of rotational consistency. You can do some things with filament winding that you can't necessarily do with a fly grab shaft.
Okay, which would be like your normal like layering of graphite, correct? Like when you're trying to make a shaft?
Yeah, and there's benefits both ways. Filament winding, you know, I could try to describe it, but it's hard. But if you were just to go on, you know, YouTube and look up filament winding videos, you would see that you're winding fiber around a mandrel or around a cylinder. So you don't end up with any seams anywhere. One of the problems, though, is when you do that, it's hard to have very exacting material placement or to put materials at exactly 0 degrees or 15 degrees or 30 degrees. So some of the freedom of design that we have with the flag wrapping that we use on hazardous and even flow and those kind of products isn't necessarily there. So there are definitely some trade-offs going between those two processes.
Okay. Now in Project X, we do have the hazardous line. There's a few different makes, models, and then you've got, you just mentioned even flow. You got the newly released Riptide, which we're just starting to work into our fits. And, you know, I've been able to mess around with a little bit. I've got an even flow hybrid shaft in my 3-iron, which is a monster, going back to like even flow black and even flow blue. But can we, on the Project X side, can we or you decipher for everyone the difference in the hazardous player and the even flow player?
Yeah, so hazardous was really born, and you know, that product's been around for probably 5 or 6 years now. We, at the time, were kind of languishing on the PGA Tour. We had a little bit of success with the loading zone shaft, but you know, we were looking at, you know, every week we're fifth or sixth or seventh, even some weeks, in terms of the manufacturer count for how many people, how many guys on PGA Tour were using Project X shafts. And we went out and, you know, we hired a guy, the rep for the company that was number one on the PGA Tour in terms of graphite shafts. So there was a little bit, it wasn't if you can't beat him, join him. If it was you can't beat him, go take their guy. And so he came in and we reviewed all the product with him. And the first thing he said is, your guys' stuff is just too soft. And we're like, well, man, this is, you know, these are based off of, you know, Graphite Blue and ProLite 3.5X and all these shafts that dominated. He's like, yeah, but those were guys who, you know, as soon as the round was over, were down in 9 scotches and smoking a cigar. He's like, now these kids are finishing a round and they're heading to the, you know, to the physio truck. They're going to the gym, they're doing yoga, and they're just a lot stronger. So we developed the original hazardous line of shafts for these big, strong guys who with really aggressive tempos. And if you look at the original hazardous black 6.5X, that would have been almost a double X, close to a triple X in like a ProLite 3.5 world. So it just shows you how much stronger the better player is today. And so that's what hazardous is for. Aggressive tempos, really stiff midsection, and designed for guys like that. But that's not for the majority of the bell curve, obviously. We're not all, you know, 6'2" guys with 185 mile an hour ball speed like you. The rest of us are 5'9" guys with 140 mile an hour ball speed. So that's really where even flow comes in. It is designed for someone with a smooth tempo, looking for a little bit, needs a little bit of help getting the ball up in the air, kind of your middle of the bell curve golfer.
Well, that makes sense then, I guess, maybe why I like the even flow white in my 3-iron. I use it I don't really use it as a driving iron. I use it as a club that needs to go nice and high and far in the air. And obviously because of loft and technique, I can hit it low, but I would say that like the even flow white would be what your firmest, lowest launching, lowest spinning even flow shaft. So maybe it makes sense as to why I do like it.
Yeah, the even flow white is our firmest part in that even flow line. And even if you look at if you were to go look at our PGA Tour number and break down our graphite, we're probably 65% hazardous, you know, and the 35% even flow branding or Riptide branding every week. And a lot of that even flow and Riptide product does exist in fairway woods and hybrids. So it is definitely, even with the better players that are using it, it's in clubs they're looking to get a little bit of elevation out of.
Okay. Well, I'm so far in the fitting. I'm telling you now, you're just mentioning like fairway woods. The Riptide CB for counterbalance has just been a slayer in the fairway wood department. And then, get a lot of players that I'm getting black in on driver, I'm getting them on the CB in the fairway wood. So I guess, is that kind of how that was designed to complement, or is it still kind of for the same person and you just kind of fit one or the other?
Well, I mean, with the Riptide stuff, they're really designed to be similar ball flights. With counterbalancing, if they're being fit correctly, you get a little bit higher ball flight, because in general, to get the counterbalance, you take advantage of the counterbalancing, you put a little more head weight in, and so that's going to help launch the ball and spin the ball a little more. But you know, there's just a lot of folks out there who like counterbalance shafts now, be it for adding extra head mass or if they are trying to build a longer club. And so you almost have to have that counterbalance product in your product line now to be in consideration set for the majority of fittings.
Hazardous yellow was counterbalance. Now, is the small batch, because we got to talk about small batch, we got to talk about the difference between like a hazardous yellow small batch and a hazardous yellow that would come stock in, say, like a TaylorMade driver, a Cobra driver, a Callaway driver. What are the differences? Are they still both counterbalanced?
They are still both counterbalanced. The main difference, so when we process, you know, when we process golf shafts, one of the big steps is when you take the shaft out of the oven, it has marks on it from the sellotape that we use to do the compaction. And so those have to be sanded off. And in that sanding off process, you are changing the frequency of the shaft. One of the benefits to our process in general is we're only sanding a couple grams off. So we're only changing the frequency about 7 cycles. And that is one pass through our sanders. Some of our competitors grind 25 to 30 cycles off. So one, not only are they wasting money because they're throwing 10 grams of graphite down the drain.
Yeah.
The second thing is they got to run it through the sander once, twice, and then maybe it's still a little high on frequency. So, know, they've got 10 operators, and maybe operator one stands a little in the middle to get it down. Operator two is at the butt end. Operator three runs a light pass the whole length. So you can get a lot of inconsistency when you put the decision-making process in the hands of the end operator like that. But with small batch, instead of, like, when we're doing mass production, we'll take 100 shafts, we'll measure 10 of them, take the average and be like, okay, these shafts need to come down 6 cycles to hit the nominal spec. When we do small batch, we will literally measure one shaft, say this needs to come down 6 cycles, sand it for 6 cycles, and pass it on. Next shaft, that one needs to come down 8 cycles. Okay, sand that 8 cycles. And so by processing each one individually instead of on the average, we can get a lot tighter part of the bell curve. The total tolerance of our normal shaft is still very tight. This is just squeezing that tolerance in a little bit.
Okay, which is why it needs to be said, it costs a little bit more money because there's a little bit more that goes into it, and you 100% know you're getting something that, to your point, exacting tolerances, right? I mean, the tightest of tolerances.
It's like I said, you know, when instead of measuring, you know, 5 or 10 shafts out of 100 or 10 shafts out of 200, depending on our batch size, we're measuring every single shaft before and after the grinding process. So it's an additional labor, depending on what SKU it is. You know, if it's not something we sell a lot of somewhere else, if it's a smoke green 6.5 TX that we don't sell many other places, if the shaft doesn't end up in spec, goes in the trash can. So, you know, there's additional scrap costs there as well. So
Dynamic Gold, we can talk a little bit about Dynamic Gold because, you know, Dynamic Gold has been around forever, but something that I feel is really unique that y'all are doing now that I feel like should have been done a million times before is binary. So let's touch up on Dynamic Gold. You kind of have like this, I got a question, you know, against the greatest player of all time and how he has just somehow changed his swing a million times and still fits into the same shaft, because other people are always afraid that if you change your swing, you're going to have to, you know, oh, I got to get fit for new clubs and all this stuff all over again. So I want to talk a little bit about that and then just touch up on binary. And then to be honest, we got so much that we got to save, you know, like we got another pod for some more product coming on down the pipeline. So let's kind of like after this, we'll split it. We'll see each other in Vegas, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously Dynamic Gold, and it's amazing, has dominated the world of golf for more than 50 years now. Every week on the PGA Tour, there are more people playing Dynamic Gold than all other shafts combined. And I think that's just a, you know, it's a statement too that, you know, we've found a performance that no one else has really been able to match or replicate. At, you know, at 132 grams. And there are certainly some, you know, we've obviously tried to make parts to go in and get some additional stuff, you know, Dynamic Gold AMT, which is now the AMT Tour White, which kind of follows Dynamic Gold, but is a little lighter and softer in the longer flexes. And, you know, we picked up some players with that product. And, you know, the Project X is pretty strong. Project XLZ is very strong. In fact, if you look at those four brands, Dynamic Gold, AMT, Project X, and Project XLZ, they are the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 models every week on the PGA Tour.
Oh, wow.
And, but Dynamic Gold is still more than all of our other products combined and everybody else's. So Dynamic Gold just, it fits that type of player. And, you know, in a lot of cases, I think it's a security blanket for a lot of guys. Like, I played Dynamic Gold since high school, and I know what it's going to do every time I swing the golf club. I don't need to worry about, is this going to change? You know, as I get older, younger, Dynamic Gold is always going to be the right shaft for me. So, you know, we have done some things. We've done the Dynamic Gold Tour issue. You know, Dynamic Gold, originally you could get S200, S300, or S400, which kind of divided it into different weights. Well, even within those weight bands, there was still a, you know, fairly wide weight tolerance of plus or minus a gram and a half. With Tour Issue, we took each of those S4 and divided that into smaller buckets, 1, 2, or 3. And now when you get your set, it's divided into an even tighter weight tolerance. So that's kind of the difference between a Tour Issue S400 and a regular S400 is we have sorted them to even a tighter tolerance than they come off the line.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. Which for us, you know, like we only really deal with Tour Issue, you know, as far as on the custom build, you know, when you get to a certain point in custom build there's, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, that the other stuff isn't right for us. The other stuff isn't good, but at a certain level of what we're doing, we love the fact that that's already been done. The weight sorting, you know, you're getting a consistent product.
Well, I mean, you guys are, you know, building to a very high precision level, just, you know, our tour reps for the OEMs are. So you're building to that kind of level. And then, you know, for someone that's going in to get, you know, spend the money to get custom fit, into something, you know, the perfect set of golf clubs for them, you don't want to leave, you know, any question about, you know, tolerances on shafts. So, you know, it makes a ton of sense there. And it was just a way, you know, some of that was already going on tour before we had tour issue, where when we were, you know, players were getting set to build, the OEMs were going and sorting out shafts. And so that was already something that was happening a little bit on tour. So we just had an opportunity to go ahead and to do that for the tour players. And it exploded, to be honest with you. When we first started doing it, I asked our head of product marketing at the time, I was like, how many decals do we need to order? He was like, I don't know, man, 10,000 is probably going to last the lifetime of this product. And we've done over 1 million of them now. So it'll show you, we didn't, you know, quite understand at the time how big of a home run that was going to be.
I was the first set of clubs I was ever actually fit for at the level of what, you know, I do now and whatnot was Dynamic Gold Tour Issue S4s. So I'm playing X100s
now. Thank you for making me feel very old.
Yeah, I've grown up since then. It wasn't too long ago. It was only like 8 years ago. I waited a long time before I really got custom fit for a set of golf clubs like that. But, you know, because when you go through that process, you know, that it takes a lot. Young in my career and I was like, you know what, I'm going to invest in golf clubs. And, you know, when I got the tour issue, I felt special when I got the tour issue. I was excited that I got fit for those. And now here I am playing them, even though it seems like there may be a little bit of drama in the bag with these Acura I-Series steel that I'm going to play around with. But
we'll see. I mean, I hope you love them, but there has been a lot of drama around a lot of sets of Dynamic Gold in a lot of bags for a lot of years. Didn't lose a lot of fights.
It's crazy to me. It's like the oldest shaft known to man, and it still works. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. But something that's completely innovative, and obviously it's been done in certain capacities before. You know, when I talk about, like, you know, bimatrix, right, where it's steel and graphite. Mm-hmm. That's not what's going on with binary, which binary was just recently announced, where you're actually taking a set of irons and iron shafts, and you are blending X amount of clubs, and there's different, I guess, levels of this, X amount of clubs with graphite shafts, and then the bottom of the bag could be steel shafts. And you know, kind of just determine where you want to split the bag based on player needs and fit. So how did this come to where you're like, you know, we need to do this. This is actually going to be a difference maker.
You know, this is something that both myself and our steel engineer have been wanting to do for a long, long time. Cause it makes a ton of sense. And to be honest with you, just some of our previous management, you know, didn't feel the same way. And there was also a little bit, you know, until we'll call it 5 years ago, you know, most people were buying their clubs off the shelf, so they weren't getting fit. And with binary, there are decisions to be made about what clubs are going to be graphite and which clubs are going to be steel. And so from just buying clubs off the shelf standpoint, you can't take advantage of that because, you know, from an OEM standpoint, you know, they're not going to send, okay, here's a set where we start graphite at the 5 and here's one where graphite goes to the 6 and goes to the 7 and goes to the 8 and not going to send whatever that ends up being 5 times as many sets to the store. So, but now with the advent of, you know, club fitting and more people going to get fit for clubs, now binary and a mixed set is a tool for a fitter to use where they don't have to decide between graphite or steel. Because right now, you know, when someone goes in to get fit, they walk out with a set of all graphite or all steel, maybe in a rare, you know, in not a rare case, but maybe they have graphite on their hybrids, but their true irons are still always graphite or steel. What we've done with binary is we've made a true match set. And this isn't just, we took some steel shaft and threw the binary name on it, and then we took a graphite shaft and put the same cosmetic on it. These shafts were designed to match up to each other exactly. So that is frequency, ball flight, swing weight even. A lot of times the swing weight with a graphite and steel shaft, if you're to swap one shaft in for the other, the graphite's going to be swing weight a lot lighter than the steel. We're matched up for that. So this is truly a matched set. We just happen to use two materials to do it. And then like you mentioned, and it's not a defined set. It's not like, okay, here's your 3, 4, 5 of graphite and then 6 through wedge of steel. There's actually overlap. So we have 3 through 8 in graphite, 6 through wedge in steel. And so based on the player's performance, feedback, what they're looking for out of their set, a fitter can go in and say, okay, you know what, for your swing speed, what you're trying to do with a 7 iron, we're going to fit you in graphite down to the 7. for a different player, they may say, hey, you know, for you, scoring clubs because of your distance really starts at a sixth iron. So we're going to give you steel in the six and graphite above that. So it's just, it's a really unique story. It's, like I said, it's not just throwing the same brand on shafts of two different materials and saying they're interchangeable. These are truly designed to be 100% interchangeable.
Are we ever going to get to a place, and this is the, like, for me, the moment I can figure out how to do this, because I get so many inquiries where people go, look, I can't come see you in a fitting. I want to see you. I want your opinion. But what if I told you like my swing speed and I sent you video of my swing and all of this? Are we ever going to get to a point where we can potentially predict what someone's, you know, ideal fit is without actually seeing them in person? Or, and maybe I shouldn't really, maybe you shouldn't answer that because it could make a lot of people go, wait a second, why are you talking about that? Like we need people to come in and see us. I'm saying down the road, like I would love obviously to be able to help anyone and everyone just for my phone and say, yeah, man, according to this, you know, you probably, you know, everything you sent me, you need to be in hazardous smoke green and probably in a 6.0, you know, things like that. Are we ever going to get to that point, you think?
I think you can get to a point where certainly someone could do that, like, and they wouldn't just be able to probably send you a video and, you know, I hit the 7 iron 150 because they probably really just hit a 135. And but I think, you know, if somebody sent you, hey, this is what I'm playing and here's my foresight information from, say, from a quad. So you're seeing where their toe and heel, you know, toe heel impacts, what their launch information is. So you know how they're making contact, where they're making contact and what their launch and spin are. If someone sent you that data today from, you know, that kind of launch monitor, you could probably make a fairly educated guess and get them, we'll say 80% of the way to the performance they want. You couldn't do anything about whether or not they like the feel of the golf club, but you could get them probably a lot of the way to the performance that they're looking for, just based on the fact that you've seen every golf shaft there is. So if they tell you they're playing Elevate 95R and here's my spin number, it's a little high, and you know, and they, you know, and hitting it all over the map on the face, and you're like, well, that shaft's probably too light and it is a higher launching product, so let's try putting you in a Project XLZ which has got an extra 20 grams and launches a little bit lower. And you could probably make that recommendation based even on them just telling you that, but also just, you know, if you had that data. But you're not going to get any feedback, and you're also, they're not going to get to try the club and see if there's not something about weighting or feel that actually changes the way they deliver the club to the ball. So you could certainly get to a better fit than, you know, what a lot of kind of online fitting things are now, where you move a slider bar around that says, I hit my 7 iron this far and I like this weight, which, you know, I can't say too many bad things about those because we have one of those on our website. You would need launch monitor at a minimum to do a good job. You would need launch monitor and face impact data.
Well, and I have people send me their TrackMan data all the time, GC quad data, and they're always just like, you know, well, if I send you all this, can you get it? And I'm like, well, if you sent me all of the, you know, the session, the whole session, I could definitely tell you which one's better based on the numbers. That you probably, my decision probably isn't going to be any different than the person you actually just paid to go get fit by, right? So it's like, well, you know, don't come to me and can confirm these things. And I've had that a couple of times, but I to your point, I feel really bad when I tell people like, man, this is the shaft that's supposed to do that, but I can't guarantee it's going to do what it says it's going to do because you got to go hit it.
Yeah, man, we get, you know, on between the various forum boards and social media, and we get a lot of questions about, hey, you know, and, you know, we're not even lucky enough to get track mandated. It's just like, my swing speed is 105 miles an hour, which shaft should I play? Like, well, okay, what's wrong? All right, first question, what shaft are you playing now? Okay, what's wrong with the way you hit it now? Okay, you know, and if the answer's like nothing, it's like, well, then you're fine. You know, if you can't tell me, like, I hit it too high, I hit it too low, you know, then it's really hard. If it's I hit it too high or too low, I'm fairly educated on what most golf shafts do, so I can just recommend the opposite. You know, you're hitting an even flow blue too high, and, you know, and your swing speed is, you know, 100 miles an hour, I'll be like, okay, well, why don't you smoke black 5.5, because that's the best guess I can make off. I play an even flow blue R and I hit a 2i. The best guess I can make is, all right, well, let's keep you in the same flex and give you something that launches lower. So, you know, maybe there's a day where there's just, you know, there's a booth somewhere at the mall where someone goes in, if malls still exist at this point in time, can go in and swing a driver in front of a launch monitor that shows face impact, and then that data gets transmitted to Steve and T's headquarters on the 101st floor in downtown New York, and you guys are able to do that fitting. But until such a time, I don't think internet fittings are really going to be something to get perfectly fit for golf clubs.
We will never, ever be headquartered in New York. All right. It's too cold for one, and rent is too damn expensive. So not happening. We'll come out to San Diego before we do that, which we got to do.
Because
I guess you've partnered up with Dogleg Brewing Company, which I think is the most fascinating thing ever. The fact that you are teaming up with a brewery, it just shows, do you guys have a drinking problem in San Diego?
Well, I mean, you know, I think everybody, you know, the craft brewery industry here is bigger than the golf industry now. And that's not a joke or anything. You know, I'm not making fun of anybody. I mean, San Diego's number one tourism now, bigger than golf, bigger than the San Diego Zoo, bigger than SeaWorld, bigger than Legoland, is craft breweries. Groups come here and they get hotels, and there's services where they just load you up into a bus and they'll drive you around to six different breweries, and then you go home and throw up and have a burrito. and we've got over 130 craft breweries in San Diego County.
Jeez. Okay.
There's 20 of them within 3 or 4 miles of the office. So it is, San Diego's definitely, I don't know if it's a problem, but we definitely are a little bit obsessed with our craft beer.
You're proud. I mean, I lived in Portland for a little bit of time, and obviously they're pretty high up on their beer and a little bit of everything else. No pun intended with
that. Yeah, they've got, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, definitely got to go to San Diego just for the sake of it. And we'll do that. Maybe I can talk Mel into letting us sneak over for a day while we're out in Vegas or something. We haven't gotten our return flight yet. So maybe we can stop through San Diego.
It's a quick hour flight. I mean, she comes to the factory, we could even give her some custom painted shafts. So, I mean, you know, I know that's important. So we can, you know, match shafts to whichever shoes she's wearing at that point in time. So
you're going to need a lot of shafts to be able to match these shoes. It's ridiculous. So Don, I could talk to you all day about this, but we'll kind of cut this one where it's at. And then we will talk many times. You know, if anything big happens, we'll probably catch up for Vegas, probably do a podcast or two out there and see how it goes and get you on video, do some things. And maybe not your golf swing. You know, I don't want you to like ruin your reputation or anything as the man behind True Sports, but definitely want to get some content with you out there, expose the brands furthermore while y'all are supporting everything we do. We can't appreciate enough, and I thank you so much for hopping on the show, buddy.
Well, it was great talking to you, Brian, and we'll catch up again soon.
All right, thanks for all your help, man.